You're listening to the Sound of Football podcast, a ride on the football fairground.
I don't like ESPN's coverage at the weekend, especially the tiny table they would put by the corner flag. for their punditry.
Yes, that's right.
It was like the card table at Christmas, wasn't it?
The manager, the Stevenage manager, Graham Wesley. Came out and then walked along the pitch side in the front of the desk. You see him sort of walking behind like Eric Morgan used to do at the back of the stage. And he didn't have a great brown overcoat and a suitcase.
See, now, for all those hours we spent on this podcast talking about how to improve media coverage, and you've just put it there.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's another edition of the Sound of Football podcast, and me, Chris Oakley, once again. Apologies for our absence last week. We're back. Well, we keep saying that, but we keep coming back whether you like it or not. And I'm very pleased to say that, as ever, I'm joined by Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley. Hello, Terry and Graham.
Hello.
Hi.
Now then, there's one thing that we like doing particularly on this particular podcast, and that is slagging people off. And tonight we're going to give you a real bumper bonanza where that's concerned, because we're going to turn our attention towards the small matter of who's going to be moving into the Olympic Stadium once it's been vacated after the Olympics next year, 2012. Lots of talk been going on in the media over the last, well, months, I was going to say, but particularly last week or two, because the decision was due to be made this Friday, in literally like 4 days' time as we're speaking, as regards who's going to get to take over the running of the stadium. I think that's now been delayed, but nonetheless, we're going to still talk about it, because it seems to me that no one's safe in all this. There's no one single party that comes out of this with any reputation left intact, one way or the other. So let's get cracking on this then. We're going to start with you tonight, Graham. Basically, it would appear that if there's anyone you could put your money on regarding, you know, a favourite on who's going to end up getting the stadium, it's West Ham. But of course, as everybody knows, there's going to be one problem. Whoever, if it's a football team that gets to occupy the stadium, there's going to be one main problem. That's the running track, as we all know. Are West Ham perhaps... do you think they've kind of crossed the line and maybe are getting involved in this project where perhaps they shouldn't be? Do you think they're going to kind of end up regretting this move?
If they move in as is.
If they go, yes.
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, I can't see them getting more people through the gates because of it. And I don't think, you know, supporter experience is going to be improved by sitting a good 100 yards away from the action, which is what will happen if they move into the stadium. Watching football across a running track is a joyless experience. It really is. especially if it's not full. If it's half empty, as these stadiums invariably are, it's a very, very lonely existence, which is probably why athletics isn't much of a spectator sport, really.
Yes,
you know, the main problem with this stadium is the fact that it was built to be an athletic stadium, and, you know, like it or not, we just don't like athletics that much in this country. So it's utterly pointless once the Olympics is over.
Well, yeah, indeed. Yeah. I mean, much has been said of the Crystal Palace Crystal Palace Stadium, which has kind of gone to rack and ruin, as I understand it. And that's an athletics facility in the capital.
Yeah.
And okay, we're going to perhaps replace that with a brand spanking new facility. But one does have to wonder whether it's going to what extent it's going to rejuvenate UK athletics.
The point. Or the part of the legacy of the bid for the London 2012 Olympics is that the original plan was obviously the new Olympic Stadium would be 60,000-ish capacity, but the deal was after the Olympics it would be reduced in capacity. So it would have a good two-thirds of it removed, physically removed, and then converted into a 25,000-seater capacity athletics stadium. I think that is basically the legacy. That's the agreement that has been signed between the British Olympic Authority, I think, or the British government or whoever, and the IOC. This is a treat. This is a contract that, in the words of Ken Livingstone, who was the mayor of London at the time and who partly brokered the deal, and he described it as more akin to an international treaty. And so, when suddenly there was talk of using the stadium for something else, I was really shocked. And the first talk of this was a couple of years ago, actually, back in the halcyon days when we entertained notions that maybe one day we'd host a World Cup in England. And there was a small group of Chelsea, Tottenham Hotspur, Arsenal, and I think West Ham, who put forward, I may be wrong about that, but I can't remember off the top of my head, put forward a group called London United, who were a small pressure group there to make sure that there were, I think, three or four stadiums from London in the bid for our World Cup bid. And one of those stadiums was the Olympic Stadium, which would be therefore redeveloped. So I think this goes back, this whole thing goes back a little bit further than maybe we might think. But the deal is that it's supposed to be a 25,000-seater athletic stadium, and it is supposed to help regenerate the sport of athletics in the London area. There is usually one Grand Prix meeting that takes place in London. The Grand Prix meeting is the sort of one of your blue ribbon sort of athletics meet with all the world stars turn up, and it is at Crystal Palace. And but anybody who's ever sort of like ever spent any time near there will be able to tell you that it hasn't really been done over in a long time. It's kind of on it's not on its last legs exactly, but it's a very old stadium. And the new Olympic Stadium was, to all intents and purposes, there to sort of become the premier venue. And there was always an element of confusion about what would happen to Crystal Palace, but we can perhaps talk about that later if there is. And so that's what it's supposed to do.
Yes.
So the idea of it always being a 60,000 seater athletic stadium was never going to happen. The idea of it now becoming a 60,000 seater athletic stadium, which happens to hold a football club, is in my book fairly unrealistic. Well, not unrealistic, but seems contrary to the agreement.
Yeah, I mean, there's in terms of the whole thing of regenerating UK athletics. I mean, I don't know if anybody saw there was a piece that was written by David James. One-time England goalkeeper. It's basically, he came across as being a bit sort of sour and, dare I say, a little bit ill-informed. And he was sort of saying that, you know, British people don't really kind of love athletics anymore, if indeed they loved it to any great extent in the first place. And he sort of went on to sort of say, well, there's not much buzz about the Olympics even now, and we're only kind of a year away, which I strongly disagree with. I'm not saying everyone's kind of talking about it constantly, but I think he's kind of made his mind up that no one's interested in athletics. And of course it's a kind of chicken and egg thing, that you need perhaps some sort of carrot to enthuse people, particularly kids or whatever, if they want to get into athletics, if you've got a facility there. But of course the question comes about that you do have to kind of make a lot of use of it in order to have its full effect on enthusing people and so on and so forth. Anyway, we fast forward and we've got a number of bids on the table, particularly West Ham and Tottenham. Graham, here's your chance to really stick it into Tottenham here as an Arsenal fan. They're really not coming out of this with any kind of reputation at all, are they? There's just every move they make, that it's just constantly... I'm sorry if you heard a police car going past in the background. Sorry about that. It's just I think the podcast authorities have come to collect me. So where was I? Oh yes, just everything that Tottenham do by each turn, it's just getting worse and worse for them. What do you make of Tottenham's attempts to get this stadium then, Graham?
Horrifically poorly thought through. I mean, everyone on every turn, whenever they open their mouths and say something about the Olympic Stadium, it seems that they have just seemed to be remarkably ill-informed or self-serving, or both, really.
Well.
I think you can see the temptation. I mean, like, at least with Tottenham, they've put they've set their stall out to say, look, we're going to basically raise this brand new stadium to the ground and then build a new one there, a purpose-built stadium. But it's in Stratford. It's not in North London. It's in East London.
Absolutely.
Arsenal fans will be able to crow forever to say they are the only team in North London now. Tottenham will have to become West Ham's rivals now. that's that,
well,
that will be it. I mean, like, at least we haven't heard anyone like mentioning the fact that Tottenham and West Ham could share the bloody thing. I think that, but that's going to be the next thing that some idiot's going to come out with.
Someone at Tottenham, possibly.
Someone like Tottenham, yes. Someone like Levy could. You wouldn't put it past them, would you?
Sorry, go on.
I mean, all it's waiting for now is a Chaz and Dave protest song to come out now.
I had a couple of conversations at Socrates Lewis on Saturday, and with some relatively what I would describe as informed individuals. Behind the Spurs bid is obviously a company called AEG. They look after the O2 Stadium. O2 Centre, rather, in East London, and their business is building and managing sports venues. Yep. So it's fairly clear why they want this to happen, because it'll be a massive contract for them, and they'll make a stack of cash. I can only assume that there's something in it for Tottenham as well. Otherwise, why would they want to go? I'm still not entirely certain what Tottenham's justification for leaving the lane is. Are they saying that they are unable to get the permission that they need to redevelop the lane? Because my understanding was they've drawn up plans for a redeveloped lane. So what happened there?
Well, they've been given permission, evidently. They have been given planning permission to redevelop White Hart Lane, but it's taken a hell of a lot of time and persuasion on the part of Tottenham. And as someone who actually sort of worked in the London Borough of Haringey for a while, not so long ago, I know for a fact that there were much kind of toings and froings. And the impression I got, not through kind of looking into any minutes of meetings that I shouldn't have been reading or anything, because I don't do that sort of thing, is that. I think just Tottenham got so fed up with all the kind of backwards and forwards trying to get the thing sorted out. I just thought, well, sod this. Let's just kind of go for another option. But it does staggeringly mean moving to, well, when I say a completely different part of London, I don't mean kind of the other side of London necessarily, but they're not North London. It will be North East London. And then you're getting into kind of situations now where you've got the likes of Leighton Orient then kind of coming up and saying, excuse me, well, I don't care which of you two clubs are going to move in, but you're going to potentially steal some of our kind of fan base.
Some. I mean, it's in spitting distance of Brisbane Road, this place.
Yes.
I mean, it's moving a Premier League football club right on the doorstep of a lower league football club. Leighton Orient have released a statement this morning. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Beautifully written. It's very pious. It's full of community and ownership and community and based. And, you know, we're poor and we do everything right. It's a classic statement written by Barry Hearn.
I was going to say, he must be involved in this somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that champion of poor clubs, Barry Hearn. he who sold, you know, all the corners of the ground and built flats on the top of them. But anyway, let's not start slagging everyone off, shall we? But the points they raise in it are very clear. It's they've protested against this for fairly obvious reasons. They think that the loss of footfall and the inability to take advantage of their own close market will mean that they could end up, you know, frankly, going out of business, or at least plummeting down the leagues and becoming completely overshadowed. They're also, perhaps more pertinently, fairly convinced that this is in breach of Premier League rules. So they published a fairly strongly worded statement on their website, which is well worth reading for anybody. And it mustn't be forgotten that they may well be right, and it mustn't be forgotten that Leighton Orient, you know, whether or not they might be overplaying the danger. It can't be helpful. If you have a lower league club and then a Premier League club's moving to a 60,000-seater stadium just down the road from you, you're not going to fancy your chances for your future prospects, are you? I wouldn't have thought. It's not a good place to be in. So this mustn't be forgotten. I don't want to get all grassroots and that, but it is. There is. I'm just trying to think which is worse. Moving from South London to Buckinghamshire, where there isn't a league football club for miles around, or moving from North London to East London right on top of an existing football club. I'm just wondering which one is as worthy of contempt as compared to the other. I don't know what anybody else thinks of that.
They're of equal contempt, really. There's little to choose between them, quite frankly. I mean, we talk about sort of sharing the stadium and all that. Perhaps slightly tongue-in-cheek, you know, West Ham and Tottenham sharing the stadium, but I just kind of wonder if there's any kind of viability in, say, West Ham or Tottenham sharing with Orient, but then I don't know quite to what extent the fans of Leighton Orient are quite keen to stay at Brisbane Road. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I don't know that either. I think that I suspect that really what Orient fans would like would be to be able to have the corners of their ground back, so that they might be able to have some kind of ambition. I know a lot of Orient fans are quite frustrated with the way that the club has gone because of Barry Hearn's development and also his fairly clear ambition to move the club into Essex, to Harlow, and to move out of the area, which makes this statement slightly. So the contradiction. Yes. You wonder whether or not, to an extent, you know, there are higher issues.
I think
on
the whole thing
stinks
of that, though, Terry. Because I mean, if you've got to look at what Terry's doing, what Tottenham are doing.
What are you doing, Terry? Yeah.
What Tottenham are doing? It does smack a bit of, like, you know, strong arming Newham Council to say, look, not Newham, Haringey, to say, look, okay, yes. Look, if you don't start sorting something out sooner or later, we're going to move. And get all,
anything other
get,
than
get 20,000 fans turning up outside the town hall saying, you know, like, keep our club in the borough.
I mean, in fairness, that if that's the only problem I have with that is obviously again the aforementioned AEG's involvement in that.
Sure,
I think AEG are involved in this because they want to redevelop that site and they want to make stacks of money out of it. And the other thing, of course, is I'm not certain that any campaign would backfire, because I'm pretty certain that the supporters would fall very much, you know, against the club. I think that they're not foolish enough to believe that this was intransigence due to the council, because they would just say, well, look, we'll just have to keep things as they are until everything's worked out.
Yeah.
They are, after all, know the club very well. I was talking to Ian from 200%, who I didn't realise who is his first club is Tottenham Hotspur, and he understands there is already talk of a breakaway if this happens.
Wow.
And I mean that's interesting. I don't know how I feel about that, but I mean perhaps for international listeners who. And I think most international listeners understand the significance of this. But for those that perhaps are very new to the sport, although it is in the same city, it may as well be another town. It's just completely alien, this sort of thing. It's seriously, seriously uncool thing that they're doing. And pretty soon people are going to start calling them MK Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a desperately unpopular thing that they're about to go down, and I truly hope for their sake it doesn't happen. I really do.
But of course the other thing in the mix is the fact that you know, as Terry mentioned before, is the fact that there is an athletics stadium in London at mm-hmm. Crystal Palace.
Indeed.
But of course Crystal Palace have put their own bid in, Crystal Palace Football Club that is, of yes. redeveloping that site into a specific football club.
That's right. When this is all based on
the fact that there will be another athletics arena in East London.
But what Tottenham want to do, and what AEG want to do, is they don't only just want to redevelop one stadium, they want to redevelop two. They knock down the Olympic Stadium once they've finished with it, build a new one, and then redevelop the Crystal Palace Athletic Stadium. So they get to redevelop two stadiums and make even more money, but it also, in their view, satisfies the conditions of the contract with the IOC, in that you've still got your legacy factor, even though the Olympic Village is in East London and Crystal Palace is in deep South London, virtually not South London, London at all, in fact almost Kent. So that's their plan around it. Of course, the knock-on effect of that is, and this I also think is interesting, there's last week that Crystal Palace decided to unveil their plans for a purpose-built stadium on the site of the athletic track, obviously on the understanding that they didn't need an athletic track in London anymore because there was a perfectly good brand new one being built in East London. So, and I wonder whether or not the club, Palace that is, decided to get their oar in last week while all this was going on.
Yeah.
And thought, well, we need to get in our plans in now and make them public so that everybody knows what's going on. So you've got this extraordinary scenario now, where you've got 4 clubs, one way or another, involved in some kind of conflict over a single site.
Mm. Yeah,
conceivably two sites if you include the Crystal Palace stadium. I was going to say you couldn't make it up, but probably you could. But it's intriguing stuff. It'll make a good panorama one day.
I doubt it.
Well, depends if Andrew Jennings has got anything to do with it, possibly. I don't know. But going back to something we've even mentioned a long way back, was the fact that when Golden Sullivan took over and they started kind of the initial mutterings about all this, they even did suggest very early on that if they moved out of Upton Park, moved West Ham out of Upton Park into the new Olympic Stadium, that they would be quite open about basically flattening Upton Park and turning that into an athletic stadium as well of some sort. So, you know, I'm not sure that they've given that much thought in recent times. I think I even said back then, which would have been sort of the start of maybe the last season or the one before that, that there would be all kinds of complications with regards to that. It's just kind of wheels within wheels, really. And then, of course, just to make matters worse, Tottenham decide they're going to get Pelé involved, which really helps out everything, don't they? They think that that's going to add a huge amount of credibility to their bid. And, of course, everybody knows that Pelé wouldn't know where bloody Stratford is if it, you know, ran up his leg and bit him somewhere personal. I'm not saying this as a West Ham fan anti-Tottenham particularly, but I just find that the whole kind of Tottenham bid really strikes of utter desperation, to the point now where, well, if anyone took them seriously before, which is probably only Tottenham fans, I think even they're probably struggling by now.
But what do you read into the postponement of the decision then? I read a tweet from some eminent academic whose name I have now forgotten, so I apologise, suggesting that perhaps it had suddenly occurred to everybody that the club's moving to this part of town is in fact a breach of Premier League rules, which is what Lake Norian are saying.
Hmm.
Do you suppose that's why they've decided to take a breathing space, or do you think that it's all just got incredibly complicated and everybody thinks, well, we better just take a step back and, you know, review this?
I think it's suddenly become very, very political, though, isn't it? I think it's...
Well, Sebastian Coe, Lord Coe, has gone on and saying, look, if we do give it to Tottenham, we will never host an international event in this country again. Now that's a kind of academic point, but I mean, because we will never host an international event in this country ever again. Mm. It's got nothing to do with this. The damage. But if you really do want to slam those barn doors after the horse has bolted, then I suspect giving this site to Tottenham is the way to do it, because it's a complete breach of the legacy agreement.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're not like China, where we've got a massive economy and we can just push people around. You know, we're not. Mm. We're not like that. You know.
Yeah, and unlike the US, we're not likely to kind of want to get itchy feet and bid for another Olympics in 12 years' time. So, frankly, once this one's over and done with, then that'll be it. Then we're not going to get another World Cup. We probably won't get another Olympics until year 3000 or something. So, we might as well just piss it all up the wall and go out with a bang, I suppose. So, yeah, hand it over to Tottenham and have done with it. Possibly, I think the reason why there's a delay is not just perhaps because it's political and they're trying to get a bit of breathing space, but possibly because, of course, we shouldn't rule out the possibility that somebody's probably handed over a big brown envelope stuffed full of cash and that they just need to count it first and make sure it's all above.
That's a scandalous suggestion, okay. Yes.
That was the voice of Chris Oakley there on the football podcast.
I just want to say it's been fantastic presenting this podcast, and you'll love Gary Andrews next week. He'll be fantastic. For me, it's goodbye. No. I just can't believe that they've suddenly gone, good grief, this is really rather complicated, isn't it? Well, I think we need a bit more time. This has been a big issue for a long while now.
I say what I don't understand. What I don't understand is if the original deal was to scale the stadium down, turn it into an athletics venue, who was going to be running that venue anyway? Was it going to be UK Athletics who owned the site? Was it going to be the British Olympic Authority?
I would have thought.
Or was it going to be Newham Council? You know, who were the original going to be the custodians and the owners and the people responsible for that site? And where are they?
Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, what's happened here? Or were they never did they never ever exist in the first place? And the idea was is that they would take it out and put it out to tender on the basis of the agreement. And now we've got this ludicrous situation where people are trying to stretch the agreement around to make it fit into them.
It's sort of got the whole makings of a caper movie, this, isn't it, really? It's a mad world, isn't it, really?
One of our Olympic stadiums is missing.
He's unoccupied. Yes, he does a bit. Yeah, I seem to remember, going back to your point there, Terry, that reading somewhere that it's sort of, it was commissioned, obviously, by the British Olympic, wherever they are, authority or whatever it is, and then they basically sort of said, right, you know, we want a stadium built, handed it over to,
the Olympic Delivery Authority.
And then at the end of it, it would then be kind of handed back into the sort of public domain under someone's auspices, like the government or somebody, who would then make the decision of who it should be bequeathed to, shall we say. But I'm not sure if that would be... I can't believe that, say, Newham Council were involved, Newham Council being the kind of London borough, for those that don't know, for that particular part of the world, because I think they've only just really kind of got involved. I mean, obviously, they've had to get involved in terms of planning and all the rest of it, but they've only really got involved politically at the stage where West Ham put in their bid, and they thought, oh, that sounds good, and obviously they've worked together, and now they're kind of partners in the whole thing, but I don't think it would have been handed over to Newham Council once it was finished with. I'm not sure. This is something that hopefully our listeners can fill us in on, and indeed on any of our other points that we may have missed.
Well, I think that this would be an excellent forum to kick off some kind of discussion, either on Twitter or on our comment section. Listeners, if you know more about it than we do, then we'd be delighted if you'd get involved.
Yeah, well, actually, if you know more about us on anything, really, get involved. But
one at a time, please, if you don't mind.
From an elderly queue, please.
Yes, we don't want to crash the server. I think that's probably as good a place as any to draw a line under things. We've sort of covered most of the salient points, I suspect. If you've got any opinions, as we said, just get in touch with us. You know all the usual places, but listen around at the end of the podcast for all the details. Get us on Twitter and Facebook and many other places besides. For now, though, I reckon we'll say goodbye. Does that sound like a good idea, chaps? Do you think it's time we got our coats? Yes. Leave them wanting more, that's what they say, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. on that point, then, thanks very much indeed for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Do join us again next week for another Sound of Football podcast. Until then, from Terry, Graham and myself, it's goodbye for now. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Contact us via our website, footballfairground.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/soundoffootball, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball.